Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I hope everybody's doing well on a beautiful, good, sunshiny Lord's Day. And as we gather in the house of the Lord, that we're here to see Him, to know Him, to hear Him, to understand Him. And Him is not me. Him is our Master. So we're glad you're here today. Look at somebody around you. Give them a wink, a wave, a smile, and one of those warm, welcoming things. The coffee has kicked in. Smile and wave. So we're tickled to death to see each other. If you're part of our online viewing audience, we welcome you today as well. We have Dr. John Cazito there who monitors our online audience. So if you're watching today, be sure to type a hello or send one of those little avatars waving at Dr. K back there. And as always, if you have any questions, you can submit those to Dr. Cazito, and he'll get you some answers, or he will say, hang on, I'll get you some answers, and we'll have that opportunity to get back with you. We're so glad that you have chosen to come today to worship in spirit and in truth here at Central Baptist Church. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin. Father, as we come to you today, we're so thankful and grateful that we have these opportunities. Lord, I'm so grateful and thankful for the opportunity, Lord, simply to come to you in prayer. Lord, I pray that we will never take for granted the opportunities that we have just to be able to bow our heads and come to you and just cry out to you. For Lord, we didn't always have that opportunity. But Lord, thanks be to the death, burial, and resurrection. That veil was rent from top to bottom. And Lord, you give us access to you through Jesus Christ. So today, Lord, may we concentrate on that fact and never forget that you walk with us each and every step of the way. Today, Lord, as we have gathered in your name, we just pray that we will truly cast our thoughts upon you, that everything that is said and done would magnify you, and that we would come into your house today with a sense of anticipation that we're going to meet you here. And Lord, that you're going to do some incredible things in our hearts and lives, and you will speak to us. For Lord, if we seek, we will find. If we knock, it shall be open unto us. So bless each and every aspect of what we do. May it truly be worship in your sight. As Lord, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Please stand and join me as we sing hymn number 52, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought.
Where have I been? Still 'tis God. Forever.
Great is thy faithfulness. How faithful are you when it comes down to following what it is that God has in store for each and every one of us? Today we're going to be looking at passages out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. And I want us to consider a few things this morning. And the things I want us to consider are, how risky are you? You know, what is your risk factor? You know, I was thinking about this as some people use this quotient in a way of life. I know I was talking with David Bowman several months ago. You know, one of the questions that he asked when it came down to an investment is, tolerance. That's it. Your risk tolerance. And that's a nice way of saying, how aggressive do you want to go after this thing? And, I want to pose that as a question for each and every one of us in our spiritual life today. What is your risk tolerance for Christ? Now, some of you would sit back and say, I don't get it. Well, bear with me. You will understand shortly, because I think one of the things that we tend to forget as Christian people today is that God has expectations of us. Yeah, we've just kind of gotten to that point where, you know, we look at God and we sit back and say, oh, well, thank you for Christ. You know, I appreciate the fact that I'm saved. I'm in like Flynn. I'm part of the family. So that gives me the right to be lazy. No, it does not. You know, and we're going to see that. And this is not an unfamiliar passage whatsoever as we look at it today. But I want us to look at it in light of how is it that this is applicable in our lives. You know, I think we're of a situation today where we have become more cautious. I'm going to use that term. In so many things that we've done, particularly as we have come out of this pandemic and whatnot, everybody, would you agree, tends to be more cautious with everything, you know, with your money, with your decisions, where you go, what you do, and how you do. You tend to become gone more into let's protect what we have mode, all right? Now, I got to be careful because there's a fine line between that and following the Lord. When it comes down to finances, David will probably tell you there's a real fine line between your risk tolerance and stupidity. Yeah, remember, there is a difference between ignorance and stupidity, okay? Ignorance means you just don't know. Yeah, you can get somebody to guide you along the way. I mean, stupidity would be me going and saying, David set me up an account because I played the lottery. I put $2 in it, and I'm coming back with $1 billion, you know, on Monday. David would probably go, I don't think I would do that. You know, that's probably not the best way to go forward. But the bottom line, folks, is that God is giving us a sure thing. That's the difference. The difference is when you're not real sure and when you know it's a sure thing. And God is asking us in ways to put it all on the line for Him. And what we have done, what we seem to have done over time, is we have become more and more cautious in our following of our Savior. Sometimes God wants us to abandon, you know, everything about who we are to be everything that He wants us to be. Now, I can't stress this enough this morning. God has expectations of you. If you don't get anything else today, make sure you get that. God has expectations of His children. And He has not only blessed, but He has given us beyond measure. How many of you would say, I am blessed? I mean, every hand is up. If not, you're just a wiseacre. Every hand is up. Because when we begin to think about it, God has blessed us in so many ways. And it goes even beyond our comprehension. It goes beyond anything that we could ever imagine. And He has blessed us in many cases because we have been faithful to Him. Sometimes He blesses us just because. Sometimes He blesses us because He's got something in store down the road. Now, let's look at our scripture. This is all going to start making sense once we begin to put this familiar scripture together. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, beginning at verse 14, reads like this. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Verse 16, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back mine own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you today and as we read these words, Father, I pray that they would truly resonate within each and every one of our hearts. Lord, I pray that today, as we give ear to the Holy Spirit, that you would, Lord, help us to understand the talents and the abilities and everything that you have given to us, that you call us to use for your honor, for your glory, and for your kingdom. Lord, I pray that we might be found faithful. Lord, if there's areas in our lives concerning this where we're not, I pray that conviction would be there. I pray, Lord, that surrender would be there, that as we leave this place, we would do so differently, with a different attitude than when we came in. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand that everything is yours. None of it is ours. And you call us to be faithful stewards. So, Lord, I pray that for these next few moments that you would use me as your messenger, that you would be high and lifted up, that you would be the one that each and every person hears and sees, whether they're in this place, Lord, or whether they're watching this by way of a broadcast online, whatever it is, Lord, wherever your voice is, there you are. So, Lord, bless our time, change our hearts, and help us, Father, in Christ's name, amen. You know, when we look at this, again, this is something that's very, very familiar to us. But I think that what happens is we often get to the point where we relegate this down to like some sort of a simple event. Now, we know that this is a parable. One of the things that I've always said is that a parable is where Jesus would teach a lesson, and he would do so in story form. He would tell a story in a way that people could understand what was going on to illustrate some points that he was trying to make And this is what he's doing in this particular passage. And if you'll notice, many of the parables in the Bible start off much like this one. In verse 14, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country." So in other words, he's getting ready to illustrate this point by telling a story that each of them can understand. Now, as he goes forward, he begins to say what he did. He said, "This man who was going to be going into a far country has called his servants together, and he has given them," it says, "his goods." And then it starts to get into the point where it says, "To one he gave five talents." Now, we need to understand the value of this, because when we begin to put values on something, it changes how we view it, doesn't it? I mean, I know that there's times that we do that. You and I have done that with a vehicle or something. You know, you're sitting there going, "I'll tell you one thing, it's snowing out there, and you know how people in this area drive in the snow. Let's take the old car. Let's not take the good one, because if we crash or somebody crashes into us, we'll make sure that it's the old beater and it's not the, you know, the everyday family car." So we begin to weigh different things out. And it says that the master of this household gets together, and it says that he gives to them talents. And it says to one, he gave five. Now, again, I must express what a talent is. Historically, a talent is a monetary unit. In other words, we're talking money now. It is a monetary unit that is worth about 20 years of a laborer's salary. Does that change how you view this? Okay, it says he gave the man five talents. Five times 20 is what? 100. Thank you. I'm not good at math. So figure this. That's 100 years worth of a laborer's salary. Does that make this parable seem any different to you now? I mean, if somebody came up and said, "I want to give you 100 years worth of your salary," would it be a big deal? Some of y'all are going, "Nah, I make more than that. I'm going to hang out with you." 100 years of your salary, it's a big deal. And then he goes on in that verse 15, and he says, "To another he gave two," right? All right, now how much did we say that a talent was worth? 10 years. So 2 times 10 is, would you be good if somebody came and handed you 20 years worth of your annual salary? Would that be a big deal? If somebody said, "Oh, I just got a little check I want to give you here." I mean, you would probably look at that and go, "Oh, you're kidding, man. This has got to be fake. Where's the camera? Where's the camera? Is this one of them, you know, funny camera shows?" If somebody gave you 20 years worth of your salary, you would definitely be going, "All right." And then it goes on and it says, "And to another," what does it say? Verse 15, "And to one he gave five, to another two, and to another one." When we look at that superficially, we don't think that's a big deal. But when all of a sudden you begin to realize that he even gave the lowest man on the totem pole 20 years worth of his salary, that's a big deal, isn't it? I mean, I can handle 20 years. I did wrong math before. That other one would be 40, wouldn't it? Did I say that right? I told you I wasn't good at math. And y'all just sat there like, All right, 100 years, 40 years, and 20 years. I would still be cool if somebody decided they wanted to give me 20 years worth of my salary. Would you? Now, again, here's what I want to stress in this particular point. Does understanding that make this a bigger deal than you thought it was before? Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, this master has been very kind and very gracious to his servants. Now, there's also something I want you to pick up out of verse 15. Let's go back and read it again. Verse 15 says, "And to one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one." to each according to his own ability. What you can do. You know what? We all have different abilities, don't we? We all don't have the same earning income. We all don't have the same earning potential. And God knows that. How does God know that? He created you. He created you to be you uniquely and perfectly. He didn't create everybody to be millionaires out there. You know, but he did create you to do a job that is just as important as what the millionaires do. Nobody can do what God has uniquely gifted you and talented you to do. Nobody can do it any better than you. So you are God's number one for that particular thing. Now, when we talk about talents, many times what we'll do is we will use different ways of viewing this. Sometimes we will look at it and say, this is money. In this case, it is actually talking about money. But, you know, what about the other things? You know, God's called us to be stewards not only of money, but of time. He's called us to be stewards of the abilities, the talents, the true talents that he's given us. And everybody has something that you can use for his honor and for his glory. Everybody has something according to your varied abilities that God has given you. So we've got the idea now. I mean, could you imagine walking away from that meeting and, you know, you go back and you're sitting there with your eyes about this big around and you walk in and, you know, your wife or your husband says, well, what is it, honey? And you sit back and go, you ain't gonna believe this. The master just gave me 100 years worth of salary. And even the second one, man, I just got 40 years worth of salary. Even the one who comes back and says, I got 20 years worth of my salary. It's a big deal. Why am I stressing this so much? Because I want you to understand that even the smallest is gigantic when God's in the middle of it. And remember what I started off by saying? I started off by saying God has expectations of you. The master in this parable had expectations of those servants. It was a party day. Hey, I got something for you. I'm going to be going away. I got something for you to take care of. I've got something for you to take care of. Oh, did you get that? Something for you to take care of. That's what a steward is. Managing something that's somebody else's. How important is that? It's extremely important in this day and age, just as it was in that day and age. And here's why. You and me, country boy, ain't got nothing. It's all his. Every bit. Your house belongs to him. Your automobile belongs to him. Your bank account belongs to him. He has called you to be a steward of those things. So what kind of steward are you being of those things? It's not yours. We got this mine attitude, don't we? And remember what we talked about? We said we talked about risk tolerance. Yeah. What are you willing to risk? Now, here's the cool part. You know, if I call David Bowman, who has my investment, and I say, David, this is what I want to do with it. David might say, I don't think that's a good idea. Based on the knowledge that he has, based on what the market is, based on, you know, whatever, based on everything, he might say, that's not a good idea. But the bottom line is this. He's going to do what I ask him to do with it, right? You know why? Because whose is it? It's mine. I can do whatever I want to with it. So remember what I said a minute ago. Everything that we have is not ours. It all belongs to God. God can do with it whatever he wants to. Now, I'm sure that in David's life along the way, there's been somebody that's called him up and said, I want to do this with my money. And David's like, I don't really know that that's the best idea. And yet they went with it anyway. And probably a majority of the times they may have come back with tears. But there's been a time or two when somebody did something that you sat back and went, wow, I would have never guessed that in a million years. But it played nicely for them. Listen, God knows what he's doing. God also knows the future. That's almost like insider trading. If God tells you to do this, you know it's going to win. Amen? So what he's done is he's given these guys, and he has expectations. In the same way, God has given you and I all the things that he's given us, and he has expectations. Write that down, underline it four times. He has expectations of you and me. Why is that? Why am I beating you over the head with this morning? Because we've got this idea that God expects nothing of us, and that's wrong. God does have expectations of his children. And it says that after he distributed these monetary units to his servants, 1-5, 1-2, and 1-1, it tells us about what he did. It says that he went on a long journey. He was going to be away for a while. He says, you guys are going to be my investment. I'm going to invest in you. But I'm coming back. Remember, the person who puts up the investment is the one who still owns it. He goes on a long journey. Then verse 16 says, then he who had received the 5 talents went out and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Now remember what we said? 5 talents is how many years of salary? 100 years. And it says he went out and made another 5. Is that mind-boggling? I mean, he doubled this sum. Now there's 200 years worth of, I can't imagine that. I'm sure he was sitting back going, we played that one right, Dave. We invested in the right stuff. He probably did the happy dance going out of the investment office. Because notice what he did. But here's what he had to do. He had to put it on the line. So what do we see about number 2, verse 17? And likewise, he who had received 2 times 20. See, I told you. But y'all are tracking good. 2 times 20 is... Y'all all got that. Y'all helping me with the math. 2 times 20 is 40. 40 years worth of salary. What does it say that he did? It says that he went out and gained, in verse 17, gained 2 more also. So now the 40 has become 80. I can add pretty good when it's low numbers. Now there's 80 years worth of salary for the guy that had 2. But you remember what he had to do. He had to invest it, didn't he? Verse 18, we get down to the guy that's got 1. But he who had received 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. A mason jar in the ground does not pay high dividends. In fact, it pays none. It pays 0. You can risk losing it. There's 10,000 things you can do, but here's one thing I can rest assured. Take this one to the bank. If it's not invested, it will never gain a penny. Can you all see the spiritual application of where I'm going with this? If it is not invested, the talents, the skills, the abilities, the finances that God has given you, if you don't invest it into the kingdom, it will never earn 1 red penny's worth of interest. You just sit on it. I've seen people do that. Irritates me. I'll tell you, it irritates me. It does. Here you got somebody who has a great voice who can sing praises to the Lord but won't do it for whatever reason. Listen, if Satan can hold you back with some stupid little reason, he'll do it every time. well, I just don't like the way we do this, or I don't like the way we do that. Listen, you're not doing it for somebody down here. You're doing what you do for God Almighty, and because He's asked you to do it. How many of y'all in here have ever had to do something that you didn't want to do because it was your job and your boss asked you to do it? You didn't like it, but you did it. Your boss is asking you to do some things. And they're not always the most pleasant things in the world. Let me tell you something. Ministry is messy. Sometimes it stinks. I'm working on a sermon called Ministry Stinks. Because it does. You see, ministry is where you got to get down and dirty. Ministry is where you get down there with the people that are hurting. Ministry is where God is using what He has gifted you and talented you and given you the abilities to do. And He's putting it to use. The ministry's done out there in the trenches. It's done out there where it's bloody, where it's sweaty, and where it's nasty. And let me tell you, what God is more impressed with is not what color your suit is, but what your scars look like. That's what God's impressed with. And you know what? He has given us some major talent in this room. The question is, which one of these servants are you? It says he went out and he dug it in the earth. Now, I love verse 19. Verse 19 says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. I would be willing to say that it was such a long time, they had probably forgotten. I don't want to say they've forgotten what had taken place. They probably never forgot that, but they were probably wondering if he was ever going to come back. But he came back. Are you getting the spiritual parallel here? The master has delivered these things to you, and he's away from us right now. Now, don't get too crazy with that because we have the Holy Spirit. I get that. I know. But you're understanding for the sake of the parable what's going on. He has an expectation that you use what he has given you and use it not for your honor and glory, but for his. Because here's the bottom line. He's going to come back and settle accounts, just like the character in the story. Can you imagine what it must have been like? Maybe it was years and years and years later, and then all of a sudden, here comes the master over the horizon. And he gets back, and everybody's just hugging him. We're glad to see you. Man, we've been taken well, good care of, and everything else. And he goes, that's great, man. Guys, I'm glad to be back. I'm really excited. You, and you come with me. Yeah, you, and you come with me. Guys, y'all excuse us. We'll see you at dinner. Hey, man, let's do it up big. Have a big party tonight. But I need to see these three for just a minute. Now, could you imagine walking into the room if you were the five-talent guy or the two-talent guy? You would be excited to get in that room, wouldn't you? Because you're like, I know what's coming. I know what I was charged with. I know what's coming. I'm ready. Let's do this. But could you imagine being the one talent guy? Can I just catch you? No, you come with me now. And they walk into the room. And he begins to question them about what they had done. Now verse 20 says this, so he who had received the five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents besides them. That to me is astronomical when you think about that figure. This guy did some, he got with a good investment guy. He did something good, but he doubled that. And you know what? He was probably grinning from ear to ear, going, here you go. This is what you left me. Remember? Count it. And here is what it did with it. Doubled it. And I'm sure that the master, he probably picked through it and he said this. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. In other words, you know what he said? You have shown me that you are a responsible steward. And because of that, I will bestow upon you more. I'll give you even more. Yeah, people come to me all the time and say, well, how come the Lord won't give me this? Or how come the Lord won't give me that? My first question is, are you faithful with what he's already given you? And you know what I usually get? What do you mean? What do you mean, what do I mean? That's a pretty easy question. Are you faithful with what God has already blessed you with? Because let me tell you this, it'd be crazy for God to give you any more if you can't manage what he's already given you. Those words sting, don't they? Particularly if we haven't done real well with our management. They sting. So then the other guy, he gets done with that first one. He's done patting him on the back. And then verse 22 says that he also, who had received two talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them. So in other words, here's your original stack of money. Here's what I was able to do with it. Doubled it up. And he was probably sitting there grinning like a mule eating briars. Did he sit back and go, well, you didn't give me as much as you gave the other guy? No. He said, this is what you gave me. This is what I had to work with. And I doubled it. Now I want to ask you a question. Was God's view of the second guy, the two-talent guy, any different than the guy with the five-talent guy? No, it was not. He was not. Remember what it said. It said he gave to them according to their abilities. He was just as proud as the two-talent guy for what he did as he was the five-talent guy. In fact, sometimes you might be that five-talent person wishing you were a two-talent person. Because to whom much is given, much is required. Man, listen, if God lets you sing like a bird, he expects you to use that for his glory. If God's given you money, he expects you to invest in his kingdom. If God's given you leadership ability, he expects you to use that for his honor and glory. If he's given you the ability to teach, he expects you to teach for him. That was four. I can come up with another one. But if he gives you five, then you better be ready to handle five and manage five. How many times in your life have you said, I don't want no more of that? Because there's responsibility that comes with it. But listen, he was just as proud as the guy that he gave to who doubled his. What did he say, verse 23, to him? He said, the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He said the exact same thing to that guy that doubled his two as he did to the guy who had five and doubled them. Exact verbiage. Then number three comes up. Verse 24 says, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Did you realize that what this guy did was handed his master an excuse? He didn't even tell him what he had done to start with. He starts off with an excuse. Lord, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. He says, there's an expectation. He said, I knew. Did you get this? I know you had an expectation of me. And verse 25, what did he say? He said, I was afraid. How many of us today are afraid to take the risk that God wants us to take? It's not easy. Some of you all have been in some risky things before. Some of you have been maybe into some risky investments financially. Maybe you've been into some risky things on your job. Maybe it's been to that point where you've said, you know what, if this works, it's going to be great, but if it doesn't, we're finished. Have you been there? Let me tell you something. That is when God does his best. Think about those disciples when he went to them. I mean, they were fishing. They were fishermen for a living. And Jesus told them, he said, drop your nets, come follow me. I'll make you to become fishers of men. What'd they do? They left their lifestyle. They left their income. They left their families. They left all those things. They didn't sit back and say, can I go talk to the wife and let you know about this later? No. They knew what Jesus had asked them to do was the right thing to do. Was it risky? Absolutely. But you know, here's a problem. The problem is too many of us today, God is asking us to take risk. We look at it, it's not risk with him. If God's asked you to do it, you're going to win. If God says, take my money and invest it over there, don't ask questions, go invest it. If God tells you he wants you to go over here and serve and do in this area, go do it. You know why? Because in the end, you're going to win because he's asked you to do it. You see, I think sometimes God allows his children to have some money and then the money begins to control us. Because all of a sudden God comes up and he says, I need some of my money to be used over here. And then what we do, we either don't do it or we look like, you know, like we're having some sort of issue when it comes to putting it in the plate. You know, it's like we start going into convulsions and everything else. We come up with 10,000 excuses why we shouldn't do that. We're going to be God's financial advisor. Don't that sound silly? Doesn't it? Okay, by the way, this means yes. This means no. Doesn't that sound silly? Last time I checked, God don't need my money because it's not mine anyway. It's his, and he owns the cattle of 1,000. He owns it all. It's all his. He's just shuffling it around. But I know that times he wants to use me and what he's blessed me with to become ministry for him in the life of somebody else. Whether it is through the finances, whether it is through the talents and the abilities, whether it's just lending an ear, whatever it may be. I've shared this with you before. When I was a senior in high school, I couldn't stand up in front of people. And a lot of y'all are sitting there going, no. I couldn't. And man, I had a teacher my senior year. And I detested her. Now, bear with me. I told her that too. At a reunion, like I think it was like 20-year reunion. I said, you know, I really hated you. Because every weekend we had these big college words that we had to look up and define. And then what you had to do is you had to take those words that you looked up and defined and you had to use them in a paragraph. And it had to make sense. And then every Monday, two people had to get up and read their work. So the very first day, Bill and Roy. The next week, Susie and Roy. The third week, Charlie and Roy. And I said, you're picking on me. And I would stand up. When I would look at people, I would flush. I could feel the heat. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? My ears would get red. The sweat would break out on my brow. I could feel it running down my armpits and various other places just to read a paragraph. And I told her, I said, I want you to know something. I hated you. But then I threw in, I made it because she was English. I said, but let me throw in a conjunction, but. I said, I hated you, but. Today I realized that what happened was you weren't picking on me. You were being used by God to get me ready for what he was going to have for me to do in my calling for the rest of my life. So I said, I don't hate you no more. I said, I love you for what you did. I didn't get it going through it, but boy, I can tell you one thing. Some of y'all sat back and said, she did too good of a job. I'm not kidding you. God never said it was going to be easy, did he? But he requires it. The guy said, I'm just giving you back what you gave me. So what was his response? Well, you poor thing, I realize you're not like this other guy. You're not a real savvy investor. Duh. You know, maybe I should have given it. No, that's not what the master said. The master said in verse 26, says, but his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. See, some of us are going to the Lord expecting him to go, no, that's okay. And what he's really saying is, you are wicked and lazy. It is time to get up off of your blessed assurance and start doing something for the kingdom, period. What does the old adage say? We're too busy singing, standing on the promises when we're too busy sitting on the premises. It is time to start moving. Well, you know, I've wasted my life. I should have been doing that 30 years ago. You should have been doing it 30 years ago, but now is the time to get moving if God's put it on your heart. Too many of us have set back. We have let Satan make other people influence us that, well, I just don't like that. I don't like the way this is done. I'm just not going to do it. You know who you're hurting? Yourself. Because the master still holds you accountable for what he has blessed you with. Let me tell you something. Since this pandemic, the world has become wicked and lazy. We don't want to do nothing. Good people, you can't get good people who used to be wide open do anything. Well, you know, we're too busy chilling in the lazy boy. You need to stop that. You need to knock that off, because guess what? The master is coming back. And when the master comes back, you know what he's going to say? You, come with me. You got some splaining to do. Let's see how you did. By the way, our Lord knows how we're doing. Let's see how you did. He already knows. You can't hide that from him. I hear people all the time saying, well, I just don't have any spiritual talents. Yeah, you do. Can you talk? Can you say good morning? Can you smile? I cannot express to you how much it means to come in this place and somebody that you know has a genuine smile on their face and looks at you and says, good morning, I'm glad to see you. One of our saints that way just went home to be with the Lord. I miss her. I miss Francis looking at me and smiling and saying, good morning. You know why? Because it was genuine. It was from right here. You don't think that changes people's lives? Yeah, it does. Are there people in your life that you just getting around them makes you feel better? Three of you. I'm glad you all found a friend. Rest of y'all need to get out more. You know what I'm talking about. You can be around them and everything, and it don't have to be family. It's somebody that you just get around them and everything seems to be okay just because of the way they are. They make you forget about the troubles or the cares, and they change your attitude. And that's also somebody you'll listen to, because when you get like that chatty Cathy doll complaining, blah, 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 they'll look at you and go, just come on now, it's not that bad. And they'll just talk you off of a ledge. They'll talk you off a ledge. They don't even have to. Sometimes all they got to do is look at you and smile. And then you can't complain, because the Holy Spirit goes, Roy, you dummy. You've let other things influence you. No, he didn't get a pass. He got a you are wicked and lazy as a servant. And you know what? I'm afraid there's a whole bunch of people that are going to stand up there and say, Lord, I was just afraid. And he goes, you are wicked and lazy. I'm afraid. Quit being wicked lazy. Is it risky? Yes. Is it going to be costly? Yes. Is it what God's asked you to do? Yes. If it is, do it. If the Lord says, I want you to invest in this, write a check. Now, you better use cash, because that check might bounce. Do what God's asked you to do. See, he goes on, he tells him this. He calls him wicked and lazy. Verse 27 said, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back mine own with interest. He said, that would be a simple thing to do. Even if you simply went down and put it in the bank, it would have drawn interest that I would have gotten mine back and some. I don't know if it would have been twice. If it would have been, that's a great bank. I'd like to invest there myself. But notice what he said. He didn't say it had to be doubled. What he said, I would have received mine back with interest. It may not have been doubled, but at least it would have been more than what he was given. And he wouldn't have had to have done anything. He said, even the simplest thing you could have done, you didn't do. Deposit it. Get it out from underneath the mattress. Put it in the bank. It would have gotten some interest, and I would have at least had something. You would have had something to show me when you got here, and you've got nothing. You are just wicked and lazy. Listen, what's the Lord telling you today? Then notice what he said in verse 28. Therefore, that means he ain't done yet. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. The guy with two was probably sitting there going, man, he's got 10. You gave him 5, now he's got 10. You gave me 2, now I have 4. Why don't you give it to me? I still wouldn't have half of what he has. God, that's just not fair. Boy, don't that sound like the world today. Man, maybe the next parable I need to preach is the one where he hired the servants. I might do that. God, that's just not fair. No, he said, give it to the one that now has 10. By the way, it sounds to me like what that means is the master actually let them keep the money. Notice what he said. Give it to him, verse 28. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. He didn't say, mine that I took back, give it to him. He's got 10. And then he goes on and says, why? For verse 29, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And that is talking about if you are not being a faithful steward with what God's given you. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you can't outgive me. You can't outserve me. Because I'll keep piling it on. Try me. That's what God's saying. Try me. You think so? Try me. He says, I'll give you more. If you can be faithful with what you've got, I will expand your territory. I will give you more. Because you see, it's not really yours, it's mine. And you're just managing it. And if you manage it well, I'll hook you up. But if you're not, I'm going to take it somewhere else. It says he took it away from him. And he says, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He was making a spiritual parallel here. Do you get that? He's sitting there, the same thing that I am telling you today is what he was telling them. God is saying, I have expectations of you. And there's going to be coming a time when I call you to the front and say, now, I know what I gave you. What have you got to show for it? What's he going to say to you? You are wicked and lazy? Or will he say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. See, eventually God will reveal to everyone the risk level that they have lived, including you. Notice that part. After a long time, the master of those servants returned. he came back. Some are going to try to shift the blame from themselves to God. Some will do whatever they feel like they need to do because they're afraid to take the risk. All those who risk belong to the same order of heroes that we read about over in the book of Hebrews. Isn't that interesting? See, God's already tilted the game of life in your favor. It's all His. He knows what's going on. He's just asking you to be faithful and obedient. There is a personal threshold of risk that God wills for each and every one of us to cross. Remember what we said a minute ago? Risk tolerance. There's a threshold. And God is calling us to cross that. See, that's where it gets scary, don't it? Lord, I can't do this. He's like, I know. Lord, I can't afford this. Yeah, I know. Now, I've said before, you have to be real careful that God's the one telling you that and not Satan or not your own thing. That's the difference. See, too many times we get this idea that we got a plan and we want God to come around to our way of thinking. That doesn't work. Mm-mm, that don't work at all. What is God telling you to do with what He's given you? I'm going to ask our musicians to take their place. We're going to have this time of invitation. So the first question is He your Savior? Are you one of His children? Have you given your life to Him? Have you said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Have you given everything to Him? Or is it still yours? He don't force His way into your life. Listen, if you need Him, I'm just simply going to ask you right where you are just to say, Lord, you know, prayerfully in your heart and mean it, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Today, I give my life to You. Forgive my sins and help me live for You. You know, and if you truly meant that, then man, I'm going to tell you one thing. Your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, He still wants you to follow Him. That's not just something, well, I checked the list off. Let's go. Nope. It's about a relationship. Maybe you're here today and you have just been beat up like I have over this thing. How faithful are you being with what God has given you? Are you willing to take a risk? How many of you would truly say that you don't like risk? Don't like it. Just flat out don't like it. Boy, that's hard. That's a tough move, isn't it? And you're sitting there going, We like to hedge for the sure bet, don't we? Oh, this is 90%. I got a 9 out of 10 chance. Let's do it. If it's a, I don't even know what the odds are, that's when you're like, that's a little tougher. Let me make you a promise. When God wants you to do something, you're not going to know what the odds are, but they're not going to look good. In fact, you're doing this. Taking that step of faith. But when you do, you will always land on solid ground when you follow Him. And some of us are stuck on the ledge being called wicked and lazy. Will you change that today? Will you do business with God? Will you ask Him to forgive you and say, Lord, I know You're calling me to risk something for Your kingdom. It's going to make me uncomfortable. I don't like it. But it's not about me, it's about You. Father, help me be what You want me to be and take the risk. And away we go. Will you do that? Listen, if you need this altar, it is here. If you need me, I'm here. If you've trusted Christ, listen, let us help you get started on your journey. I got some material that I'd love to be able to give you. That's if you're here or if you're part of our online audience, let Dr. Cazito know. We will get in touch with you. We would love to help you on your journey. That's called discipleship. That's what churches are supposed to be doing. That often we don't. Maybe you need time just to bow your head at an altar and say, Lord, I have just completely screwed this up. You ever been there? Ever prayed that prayer? I have quite a bit. Lord, I've just jacked this one up. sorry, and he forgives. What do you need to do today to make it right with the Master? You do that. I'm here if you need me. The altar's here. You spend that time with him as we stand, as we sing our invitation hymn. Stain. He washed it white as snow. Man, I hope that you can go away with that peace in your heart. I hope that you can go away from here with joy, realizing God's forgiveness is there and that everything that you need can be found in him. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front at this time. Father, as we come to you today, again, we're grateful and thankful for the provision that you give each and every one of us. Lord, you have been so good and blessed us in so many ways. And now we come to that time where we give back that portion that you have so richly blessed us with. May we be found faithful in returning the tithe to you today as an act of worship. And Lord, we ask this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Jim and Amy. That was fantastic. Bless our hearts. Just a couple quick things, then we'll get you out of here. This coming week, birthday-wise, we're looking at Joanne Willard, has a birthday on Wednesday. Jenny Chilton has a birthday on Friday. And then our very own Cherie and Paul Johansson have an anniversary that is coming up this Thursday, right? Wow, man, I'll tell you one thing, Paul, you need to thank God. She's put up with you for another year. But listen, be sure to give them some love. Let them know how much that you appreciate them, as well as those that are having birthdays this week. Just a couple things that we have that are going on. Choir practice is at 5 o'clock p.m. today, right here in this place. Monthly business meeting is at 7:15 next Sunday night. That is on the 21st. And also, just to let you know, we will be having communion this 2 weeks from today. So you can make sure you got that on the calendar as well. 2 weeks from today will be communion. There is a building and grounds meeting on August the 21st, which will be next Sunday at 3:30 in room 202. So if you're part of that, be sure to be there. Our church picnic is on September the 11th at 1 p.m. Pretty much that's when we'll say the blessing. 1 p.m. Triad Park on September the 11th. So mark your calendars to be able to be there with us. Like I say, you don't have to cook. You're going to eat. Be sure to stop by and have some time of fellowship. Triad Park shelter number, do we know that one yet? Number 7. Okay, is that the one we had last time? Okay, it'll be number 7. We'll let you know more about that because we still have a little bit of time. Awana is actually going to be starting back up on September the 18th at 5:30. We could still take some volunteers if you can volunteer to help out listening to kids say scripture. See Jimmy or Jana. We'll get you hooked up in the right places. Don't forget, on September the 25th is the ladies' tea from 3 to 5 p.m. If you have any questions on that, you can talk to Carol or Mari, right? Carol or Mari? There is a sign-up sheet in the lobby. Be sure to sign up. Ladies, you won't want to miss that. If anything, just be curious. Just say, I want to go see what this is like. Yeah, I'm sure you'll love it. Be sure to sign up and join the ladies September the 25th from 3 to 5. Also, every Wednesday, there is a men's breakfast. Every Wednesday at 10 o'clock a.m. at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax. So if you're a guy and you like to eat, 10 o'clock on Wednesdays, if you're available, you can join the guys over there. They have a wonderful time of fellowship, and you won't have to worry about lunch because you'll be there probably right around lunchtime. So you just eat a good breakfast and you'll be good. I call that brunch, it's at 10 o'clock. But at any rate, be sure to take note of those things. Lots of things that are going on, lots of things that are starting to go on. And just so that you know, as many of you know, Awaken Church has been started meeting in our facility this past Sunday. They were going to be homeless as of last Sunday, and we have stepped up, allowed them to use our facility. So a lot of times you'll see them out here in the parking lot. The reason you see them in the parking lot is because they park up in the shopping center. They want to make sure that they don't take any of our parking, so they're there to direct people. If somebody comes in for Awaken Church, they're telling them just ease right up here and come around the parking lot and park up there. Now, obviously, if it's somebody that's handicapped or has a disability or something, they are more than welcome to park here. We didn't ask them to do that. They volunteered to do that. They want to be gracious because we've allowed them to use our facilities. So that's what you see. If you see some faces around here that you don't know, that's what it is. So any questions? Don't forget, church conference next week on the 21st. Brother David, come up, let us know anything that you need to let us know, and then see us off in prayer.
Also, call your attention to a sweet note in our bulletin, a thank you note from the family of Carl Young, thanking you for your support during a difficult time, and we just want to thank you and praise you for loving each other. Also, I don't know how many people knew the song that Jim and Amy played today. The title of that song is I Want Jesus to Walk With Me. I tell you, I don't know about you, but I worship through that. I just thank God for that. We had the privilege last night of spending some time with some of the church family and our family too, together here at the church, celebrating 51 years of being in the ministry, Don and I together. And it was a wonderful time. We had a great time. Jim Scott, the guy who is the pastor of this church over here, actually cooked the meal for us, and that was wonderful. That was a great meal. I just want to thank each one of you who were here. Thank you for the cards and the expressions of love and gift from the personnel committee, helping us celebrate that. Couldn't have happened for Jim and Amy to play that song any more appropriate than this morning for me, when I'm thinking about how grateful I am that God has walked with me for a long time, and I still want him to keep doing it. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we go. Father, thank you for walking with us day by day, year by year. Lord, we love you, and we know you love us. And we thank you for the privilege we have of having the opportunity to take the talents you've given us and use them for your glory and your honor. God, help us to take this message today, apply it to our hearts and lives, that we might be responsible, accountable families, members of the family of God. That when we stand before you someday, you can say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Lord, bless us as we go from this place today. Keep us safe. Bring us back tonight to study your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.